This week's episode is brought to you by Blue Harvest Vintage. Are you a collector? Blue Harvest love to help you find that missing piece you need to complete your collection. They have extensive stock of vintage Star Wars vehicles and mint on card action figures, as well as new The Force Awakens and Black Series items. Blue Harvest have Funko Pops, Lego, Dinky, Corgi, Matchbox and more. Everything a collector could possibly need. If they don't stock it, then let them know, and their knowledgeable staff will be only too pleased to help. Head to Morley Market in Leeds to see the life-size Darth Vader. Alternatively, reach out to Blue Harvest on Twitter, at Blue Harvest UK, Facebook, Blue Harvest Vintage Collectibles, a website, blueharvestvintage.co.uk, or email at blueharvesttoys@gmail.com.
Talk Star Wars is a proud member of the Star Wars Commonwealth Podcast Network. Follow at SW Commonwealth on Twitter and take your first steps into a larger world.
Welcome to TSW After Dark Side, a fully armed and operational battle station. Who put this thing together? Me, that's who. Who do I trust? Me and Vader. Hoo-ha!
Got the stamina? All about stamina.
All about the stamina. Let's, I just need to edit the link in these show notes.
Okay. As we're talking, I've just put a bid in on something that, if I get it, might be very handy.
Oh, yeah.
It's a Zoom R8 hard disk recorder.
An R8?
Yeah. So it's a bit like a mixing
like
desk.
Like an H6.
Guys, you've got to watch this. Like, it's hilarious.
It's like a sort of cut down H6. It's only got two inputs.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But it's eight tracks. I won't need that many, but it's eight tracks. And it's also, although it can be plugged into USB to use as a mixer directly into the laptop, it can also save to an SD card as well.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I'm
trying to get some new kit, and I think that will be... I'm bidding for an eBay because I'm cheap, and I don't want to buy the full price one because it's nearly £250.
Oh, yeah. You don't get them for much less, do you? What is this, Paul, that you've put in there? You've
just watched the first 10 seconds. The rest of the rubbish. The first 10 seconds is kind of cool.
I'm opening it now. The first 10 seconds.
Yeah, after that it gets a bit boring.
Make sure my volume's not up too loud. Ads.
Oh, I see.
Where did you find that? The Death Star Escape, Benny Hill style. That's genius.
Oh, bloody Nora.
Oh, that is genius, mate. That is brilliant. Good find. You literally can find anything on the internet, can't you?
Really can. Have you seen Pen Pineapple Apple Pen?
Yeah, I saw that.
Exactly that same kind of thing of you can literally find any old toss.
Isn't it?
Just
isn't
some
it
random I think he's Japanese. The random Asian guy. And he's just, it looks like a video that you've done that he's done for an educational show where the CG hasn't turned up. But the CG artist has just been double booked or something, and they've just made the best of it.
The CGI hasn't turned up.
Yeah, just the... I don't know how it works.
I don't deliver CGI.
Yeah, it turns up on a reel, doesn't it? You just splice it together.
Oh.
I don't know.
These crazies. I'm so wiped out this way. I don't even know if I'm going to be able to do an After Dark Side.
I mean, we can, you know. Wow, you know.
Let's just loop some of your impressions for half an hour.
Bark like a seal, you bastard.
What's everyone been up to this week?
Not a lot, really.
Not a lot, actually. Work's, work's either crazy or dead.
My work's been hit up this week.
got a couple of deadlines here, so I might be doing a few hours during the weekend as well. So have we.
I've got a deadline coming up on one of our projects, and it's gone. Hasn't gone great, so we're looking like we might have to push the deadline a touch, massage the deadline a bit, because for reasons that are no fault of our own, it's all kind of got away from us a bit. lots of technical architecture issues and things like that. The pain when that stuff happens. I mean, you know, it happens everywhere, doesn't it? I mean, I've had all sorts of problems with, you know, I remember once E14 had a hiatus of about a month of podcasts, not because we didn't get together to record, because I couldn't upload them. It just wouldn't let me upload anything to the staging server, and I couldn't figure it out. So in the end, they taught me how to send it via FTP, but I'd rather they just fix the fucking thing. It would have been much nicer, you know. But
I think that's how Steve is feeling at the moment about his internet service provider.
I can imagine. Yeah, it's just I'm really lucky. I was talking to another podcast on Twitter today. I think they're called Chaos Theory. But trouble is, I get so many. It sounds like a boast. It's not meant to be. But I've had a shitload of mentions today. Because obviously After Dark Side dropped today at the time of recording.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So obviously people have been reacting to that. Chaos and Theory, that's the name. Good name for a show, actually.
It's good.
Chaos and Theory, they were talking about download speeds. And I said that I was talking about the nightmare experience I used to have with download speeds. You remember those days, Mark?
Yeah.
When I first started joining the show?
Yeah.
And I used to get 2 meg downloads. If I was lucky, I used to get 2 meg. And actually what's happening now is I'm getting 34 constantly, and it's great. Just great.
Yeah, I've had some woolly speeds of late as well. Yeah. Trying to watch movies, I can't, like, some of the audio drops out of sync in Apple TV because of the latency. Oh, it's just a pain.
It's annoying because sometimes it's not even that the connection's bad. The servers just go tits up for no apparent reason. Because I was at work yesterday, and I was having a little break, and I put a video on YouTube, and the ad was stalling beforehand. Like, it wasn't even it wasn't even the video. It was lagging just trying to play the ads. And then when I loaded it up again, there's another ad playing instead, and that one was fine. So I'm guessing it was just whoever was providing the ad was just not really doing very well with it.
iTunes had server issues this week.
Did they really?
Yeah, the show. Our main show on Monday hadn't posted in iTunes when it was supposed to. And I started getting panicky because of some of the work we're doing behind the scenes with Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah.
I was wondering if I'd gotten something wrong or if that's, you know.
Was that all done now?
Derailed it? No, not quite. And
oh, okay.
I got a call from Amy over there, and she said, oh, no, it's the iTunes servers are down. So it might not take that long for them to sort out. And I need to refresh the feed or something. And all of a sudden, within the hour, it was out there. But it just goes to show how many of our regular listeners get the show from other outlets. Because a lot of people take us in YouTube.
Yeah.
Rather than I know that Podbean, and there are other podcatchers out there. I actually changed my podcatcher this week. I dumped the Apple podcast app.
Okay.
It is just a dog, that thing. It's an absolute dog.
I have a lot of problems with it doing what I tell it to.
Yeah, I have a problem with like a thing to play.
Yeah.
It will suddenly just stop for no apparent reason.
That's very odd.
Where do you get your podcasts, Paul? You don't listen to many, do you?
I only listen to one, but I've got an app on my phone. I can't remember what it's called. It's my phone. Oh, God, I can't remember.
Is it Downcast?
Blimey. No, it's something weird like FM Pod Player or something.
Oh, right.
But okay. If I do a search, I find ours. I find all of them. They're all on there.
Yeah.
It's just a search crawl, isn't it, across everything anyway, regardless of the provider you use. It still crawls the same web space, more or less.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm not as good as you guys. I only listen to two. So.
Yeah, but it's my addiction podcasting, so I go through so many shows.
Well, this is why I'm looking at Kit, because you find yourself listening to a podcast and realizing that theirs sounds so much better than yours. I'm not so much on Talk Star Wars sounds great, but it's more the E14 ones. I'm just like, I could really do so much better if I really put my mind to it. And in the next couple of months, my finances should be a bit better than usual for various reasons I won't go into. But just in general, they're a bit better. So I'm thinking now is a good time to start slowly, you know, start slowly purchasing the kit where I see opportunities to get stuff on the cheap.
Yeah, you're going to get proper XLR mics and things like that.
Yeah, well, I mean, what I'm looking at the moment's got XLR inputs. So I'm going to have to go XLR. They run really big spectrum, the old XLRs, because they can be really expensive or really, really, really cheap.
Yeah, and obviously the quality follows the price bracket.
Well, quite, yeah. I mean, I can imagine that's the case. It makes perfect sense. But
I've got a bunch of kit all lined up, ready to go, which when we did the Kickstarter earlier in the year.
I hope I didn't beat you on eBay for any of it.
Oh, no, none of it's on eBay. Oh, okay. It was all lined up, ready to buy, sort of brand new from certain outlets. And I was looking at, because I found exactly what I want now. And it will give us ultimate flexibility that all these voicemails, because just going back to the show notes, Kyle asked a question. Just trying to see whether or not I actually made note of it. Yeah, he asked which I prefer, email voicemail questions or written questions.
Yeah.
And I much prefer the audio version of questions because of obviously getting our friends from out there who listen onto the actual podcast and hearing their voices, you know, like hearing Christopher White talk and hearing Scaldron talking is awesome.
Yeah. I say they've all got, all our listeners have really amazing,
really cool
voices.
Really cool
yeah.
group of people. I'd much rather that. And Carl said he realizes that audio questions cost more time in editing, but I've got a little cheat set up to make it very quick for me to edit these things into the base show that I've got built. But what I am looking at is picking up like a mixing desk so that I can put other sources into the show as we record live. So play the audio from the voicemail straight in on a dedicated channel and play, you know, like the sponsorship spots live into the recording as we go.
Oh,
so
that'd
I
be
don't
awesome.
Have to do editing afterwards.
Yeah, and we can sit there just kind of, you know, muted or just shut the fuck up
I can just drop everybody and I can even do it in post because we'll be recording in multiple channels.
Oh, that's true. Yeah,
so I can drop it all in post sense.
We can just talk normally just in the meantime and it'll be like a proper radio show.
But what's nice is with the way I play the audio into the feed into the show now, I will drop that out of the recording and put the MP3s in to the show body.
So you can replace it.
Essentially, I'll drop my channel of sound so I can hear you guys reacting to the questions as they're being asked.
Yeah.
But you won't hear any audio from my end because I'll be playing the pre-records over the top.
Yeah.
Whereas that would change when I get a mixer because I'll be putting the audio source in as a separate dedicated channel. So it will be live with all of us reacting to it as it happens.
Yeah.
And of course, that opens up the possibility of taking calls.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Into
absolutely.
The show as well.
Obviously, time zones can be a bit of a pain with that stuff because obviously we're recording.
Yeah.
We're recording on a Thursday evening to break the glass, you know, to tease the fourth wall.
Yeah.
But some people, obviously, like in Canada, for example, it would be about 5 o'clock in the 5 o'clock in the evening at the moment.
Well, we've had
an email while we've been talking, right?
Yeah, and iMessages from Christopher White as we've been going. Yeah.
Exactly. So, I mean, they are obviously about. It's obviously, it's just the question of can they get away to talk if they were to call in, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So, it opens up a lot of those logistics. Whether or not we can use them all is dependent on, you know, a lot of things. But I think it definitely would be a positive to have those options.
Yeah. And it will also, with a mixer and, like, you know, get a mixer that plugs into a dedicated recorder like the Zoom H6 or something means we can get together and record and still mix the show when we're live in the same space doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Even for audio commentaries.
Yeah.
So we can get together and be mic'd up and record the audio commentary live and mix bits and pieces into the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah. I mean, this works, what we're doing now.
Yeah.
But it would be nice to have that flexibility.
Yeah, my needs are much more basic. I just want my shows to sound less like arse. which, you know, it's annoying because I think the the quality of the shows in terms of content is there, but I feel like it's not delivered as well as it could be, which makes it, it seems unfair on the rest of the cast that they're putting in this, you know, this effort to make it funny and to make it enjoyable and to please the listeners. And we don't deliver a quality output to the standard I would expect personally from myself.
Yeah.
As a creator.
So if you were getting a recorder with an XLR input or two XLR inputs, mm-hmm. would you then get like a line mixer? Because you could get a cheap mixing deck with multiple inputs, mm-hmm. and then you could get little lapel mics for every cast member. Mic them up, and then you're just recording one channel on your recorder.
True. Yeah, I mean, the recorder's got two inputs, so I could record two simultaneous tracks. So at the very basic, what I was thinking was running an XLR mic. I was thinking at the moment, so to give it a bit of behind the scenes, I'm kind of on a summer holidays from the Emotionally 14 podcast, just while I figure all this shit out. But the idea, certainly to start off with, and maybe I'm going to scale up as I go along, is I'm going to start off with something that will do at least two inputs. And probably limit the amount of people who are on each recording to four.
Yeah.
Because I feel like four is probably about right for the sweet spot in terms of a balance of people with stuff to say and stories to tell and anecdotes to share versus a cacophony of arseholes where we all just shout into a microphone. And it's especially bad because the microphone I'm using is the Talk Star Wars mic, but it's done in I use a different way. Where I stick it in the middle of the desk. Yeah, I switch over the input, stick it in the middle of the desk, and everybody just talks at it. But what that means is you lose people turning away as they talk. You lose people talking into their chests. You lose all that stuff. So what I'm hoping to do is, at the very least, have one mic per two people who sit either side of each mic, and then it just picks up each person's audio from, like, maybe you get sort of something with a cardioid output. Mm-hmm. Like I've got with this, so that I can pick up front and back. And as people are talking, I can just pick up that stuff. And then the mixer's doing the work. The recorder's doing it for me because it can output a single channel, a stereo mix by the looks of it. It'll mix it down. You can mix it down on the actual desk itself and then just copy it over to a computer to do the proper final pass. I feel like there's scope here for, you know, to make my life a little bit easier to produce a higher quality output and ultimately to give myself a kick up the ass to get back into it on a regular basis. And I've already talked to Blake, who's the other one who's on, but he's been on every crazy train so far. And I'm going to keep it that way where I can. I've already talked to him about doing like a fortnightly recording at the very least. Obviously if we can do more, I'd like to do more, but fortnightly is probably going to be the kind of the regularly scheduled recording session. Because I think regularity is the only thing that's missing, really. Like I say, audio quality is one I can improve. I would imagine it will probably just improve by being around a smaller table and being less far away from the mic. So even if I don't win this auction, and even if I have to start recording with just the kit I've got, I think it's still going to be better. I think it's just, obviously, I can make it even better still. But then Jenny, being my other half, being an excellent devil's advocate, because she strikes just enough balance of have you thought this through versus not talking me out of stuff. So she asks the right questions that make me think about it where I might not have thought about it before, but she's not going to turn around and say, don't do that or you can't do that. So she's good in that respect. So she was asking me, you know, are you going to carry on doing the podcasting? I said, well, what's probably going to happen is, at the very least, I will carry on podcasting. It just may not be in the same form it currently is. So I may have to change, you know, if for example, all the other guys weren't able to do it regularly, I may have to start a new show, go down a different route, change the format, something like that. But I see no reason why I wouldn't carry on doing podcasting as a general activity because it's a ton of fun. And the fact that, you know, I mean, I was gobsmacked today when I realized that two people, and that doesn't sound like a lot when you put it that way, but it means a huge amount to me. Two people heard the After Dark Side and, based on my recommendation, downloaded a whole new podcast to try out, Now, whether they like it or go on to like it or not, it's up to them. Obviously, it's their taste. So, you know, mileage may vary. But the fact that they were willing to listen to me recommend something and go, you know what, I like, you know, he seems like he knows what's going on. I'm going to download it and try it out. It's just incredible to me.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, that kind of stuff has been opened up to me by doing this podcast and this podcasting lark. And so I'm going to definitely carry on doing it. And obviously I'd feel like I'd disappoint the TSW listeners if I stopped.
Yeah.
I'd like to think anyway. It was a little bit too much for pause there, Mark.
Yeah. You can't stop this end. That's definitely off the table.
Please.
Paul, this picture you just put in the feed. That is one hell of a mixing desk.
That is a substantial one. How many inputs do you think that's got?
I've got no idea.
147,000.
That is
More importantly, it's for it's a snapshot for a little movie I've been waiting for over a year. Called Score, documentary, and the entire movie is just interviews with Zimmer and Shaw and James Newton Howard.
Yeah,
Who is those guys?
Who is this in this image?
That looks like I know that isn't. I can't think of the name.
Is it Zimmer?
I can see. No. No, bloody hell. Give me 2 minutes. I can't cheat. That's got to pop back in.
What's this called? Score?
Score, a movie documentary. I contributed a little while to their Indiegogo, to be honest, so I should be in the credits.
Okay. Oh, wow. Wow, that's awesome.
No, only as a thank you amongst 24,000 other people. But
hey, that's still more than I've got, dude.
Yeah.
I might get is if anybody ever wins an award for listening to podcasts, they might thank me in the credits.
I've got one credit.
Have you?
Yeah, a script editor on a film called Three's a Crowd.
Oh, okay, nice. That's again, it's more than I've got.
Yeah, a little indie film made by a couple of friends of ours, Scott and Imogen, who were contributors on our previous thing, Movie Geeks Film News. And their film is very, very good.
Oh, what's it about?
Well, that would be spoiling it. You can find it on their YouTube channel. I think you'll find Three's a Crowd, a short film. It is going to be going into competitions and things at some point. And I know that they're working on something else. And we've worked on a couple of bits together as well, a few ideas, which we're very excited about. But of course, time being the thing that it is, means you can't do everything.
They Wooden Tash Productions.
That's it. That's them. Yep. Wouldn't hash. Yep.
Okay. Cool. All right. I'll keep that. I've queued it up to play after we finish talking.
Yeah. You'll see my little name in the credits. On.
I've got a post going up tomorrow for E14. So I'm just making sure it's there. I mean, I've done it. I'm just making sure I've actually finished it because sometimes I'd save it as a draft and I don't know how much I've actually gone in and done. It's especially bad for videos because obviously. If you accidentally paste in the wrong embed code, you might not find it until it publishes the following day.
Yeah. Oh, I had nothing problems.
Yeah.
Oh, that's Newman, is it?
Possibly.
That makes sense. Yeah, that hair does make sense.
You ever feel like you've had a conversation before?
We've had this one before.
Have we?
We haven't, we? About
verbatim?
No.
I feel like we have.
Because the left-hand side of your brain is working infinitesimally faster than the right-hand side of your brain right now.
That's the conversation we had before.
Yeah, no, I remember that one. it's just, okay.
Paul.
Sure.
Yeah.
Do you think you'd ever think about rebooting Movie Geeks Film News as a podcast?
Don't know.
Or Movie Geeks Film Cast?
Possibly not.
No.
This is something you would like to do. I'm generally not finding myself not that enthused about all the other movies at the moment.
No, I'm not. The whole thing behind Talk Star Wars was to get a little bit more focus and not be quite so scatological.
Scatological? What, shit related?
Yeah.
Do you mean
in particular order?
Yeah.
What's the word I'm looking for?
Scattered.
That's the one.
Sacrilegious.
I was thinking about one thing and doing saying something else. The point I was getting at, Paul, was you and Bex podcasting together again.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just I wouldn't even I've not even got the energy to delve into the material so much, to be honest.
That's Mark, I think we talked. I think we've talked before about how we wanted to do it. We both have expressed an interest in our own minds before about doing a solo kind of some sort of solo format.
Yeah, I've definitely got plans.
It's still in my head. Yeah, it's still in my head.
But it's just the time and energy, like Paul's just expressed. Energy is a thing, isn't it? I mean, I'm burnt out this week.
Yeah, sorry, Paul, I talked over you. What were you saying?
No, it's all right. I don't know. Okay. I don't know.
You were saying about time and energy, mate.
Yeah, and I haven't got much enthusiasm for anything that seems to be coming our way at the moment. That's seriously the issue. I mean, this year, the two films that I was craving for the most, I still haven't seen.
Which were?
And I've heard Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
I still haven't seen that.
Which I was absolutely craving for. And God, I can't even remember the other one.
I really want to see Batman's Man. I never did. Still haven't.
I saw that on a suspect copy of something or another.
I still haven't seen it.
Again, didn't enjoy that very much either, to be honest.
I heard it wasn't as bad as it was made out to be, but not great still.
You might have heard that from me.
Yeah,
I'm finding myself doing a lot of catch-up TV, literally. I mean, I've only got Now downstairs anyway, but
yeah.
It's like the other day. The other day I ventured into, you know, the Sky store.
Yeah.
And I'm looking around and like, ooh. And it's stuff I hadn't seen, but we watched Spotlight about 4 days ago.
Yeah. Oh, yeah? Any good?
Which was fantastic. Absolutely fantastic.
Oh, I know the one. Isn't it Mark Ruffalo?
Yeah, it's not overwhelming. It's shocking. Don't get me wrong, but it's not. There's no explosions. It's just really well controlled script and emotion.
It would be very off message if it was full of explosions.
It's just I'm just enjoying dramas at the moment, to be honest.
Yeah.
But right now, I mean, I made no bones of it. For about 12 months, I've been waiting for this little thing called Rogue One.
but there are huge flags in the cinematic landscape now, aren't there? Like you've got Marvel releases and Star Wars releases, and everything else just kind of gets peppered in there. Probably doesn't get the exposure it deserves.
Which I've complained about publicly on some of the movie casts often.
Yeah. Mm.
To be honest, I mean, I don't mind Disney owning the entire world, but we need exposure to other materials occasionally. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can't just see another superhero again and again. And I know, you know, from a point of view of the wider stage, it does put the bums on seats, which puts the dollars in the coffers. But
yeah,
if they had the balls to do something else left or right field a bit, they might find another form of entertainment that people are interested in, which might also.
Doc Strange is supposed to be going that way. It's just a little bit more of a different take on the superhero stuff. Did you see they released a new teaser this week?
I saw one about 2 weeks ago.
Apparently you can watch it backwards and forwards and it will tell you different things about the film.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How do you watch it backwards? Has someone done that already for us? I'm guessing they must have done.
I hope so.
It's a rewind facility on YouTube.
Yeah. Well, kind of. You have to drag and drop, but I imagine the sound is much cop.
I'm also finding myself reading an enormous amount at the moment.
Okay.
I've openly said for many moons that I basically don't believe a word that any of the Western press tells us about anything anymore. I don't believe we know anything about the Middle Eastern situation. I don't believe we know anything about Syria. I don't believe we know anything about Russia and so on and so forth. And I had a little weird situation about 2 weeks ago. Don't know how it happened. Basically I was chatting away. I'm reading this and reading that. These completely left, you know, they're all completely outside the norm. Publications about things that just turn your crap white at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, hang on a minute, all these press agencies have been owned by the same people forever, right? So we've been lied to forever.
Right.
And so I started to look into alternative World War II literature and oh my God. And I'm not gonna say anything now.
No, go on, because you have to now.
It's some of the stuff, I don't look at YouTube too quickly, because anybody can go on YouTube and put a load of crap together and tell you this is fact, and Mr. and Mrs. Smith believe it, unfortunately.
Look forward to the E14 toy box every Friday.
I've been but yeah, I've been looking at a few blogs, and I've been looking at a few different alternative publications. One of them is just simple thing like Putin, the real story, and Putin, what the West doesn't want you to know.
Right.
But more importantly, I read something called The German Villainy,
right,
which was insane, absolutely insane. It was a guy that was stationed in Cyprus about 15 years ago.
Right.
And he actually made an effort to travel Germany, Cyprus, Austria, a lot of Italy. And he set up interviews with an enormous amount of American and German soldiers that were all posted, obviously, around those areas at the time. And they just talked about the lie that was fed, basically, the entire lie of the war that was fed.
In what respect, Paul?
Well, I've got one thing I can show you now, if you like.
Yeah, I'm intrigued. Is it Holocaust deniers?
It's that and a million other things, mate.
Really disturbing.
Well, I've obviously started reading about that as well, because my mind tells me to. And that's interesting in itself, sort of thing. But yeah, it's just the banking system. And then you see some of the facts in relation to how some of the wars are, were interconnected, Ottoman Empire and so on and so forth. And then how Stalin was pushing forwards. And basically Germany was such a prominent power in Europe, actually globally, that banking cartels said it's got to be stopped, sort of thing. So all I can say is it's interesting. This is the kind of thing that pricks my ears up.
What's the phrase from Future? Interesting if true.
Yeah.
And
what is it? I can't remember. It's a boxing match, I think. It's the episode where Bender becomes a wrestler. That's it.
Before I believe Fox.
Yeah, they interviewed they have the, I don't know if it's the actual voice, I think it's George Foreman, and he said, my memory of the fight is not very good, but I seem to recall that the world was destroyed by aliens afterwards, and the announcer goes, interesting if true.
A teeny weeny fact that a lot of people don't know about the Holocaust is Auschwitz has got a tomb outside, obviously a memorial tomb.
The number
on that tomb has been changed four times.
Oh, really? In terms of what does the number denote?
Yeah, what's the relevance of
the deaths.
Oh, I see. Okay.
6 minutes. Got down.
Really?
Yeah, an enormous amount.
Oh. Okay.
And then one guy, I did actually see one video where one guy actually talked about the math involved in relation to, okay, these are the buildings that we were told carried out these offences, blah, 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 blah. Turned out two of them were never used. And even the British Red Cross said, no, they were never used. So they took that as fact.
Right.
So they said for the numbers that we were fed to go through that and to be moved from the chambers to the ovens, ovens could only hold a maximum of maybe 2 to 4 people for about 2 hours. And they said, well, it would take approximately 26,000 hours to burn I think they said the 3,500 people were allegedly in each session.
Right.
If the guys were moving at 24 hours a day, dragging the bodies across X, Y, and Z sort of thing. So they said that's just not possible math-wise. And then they also said the amount of excavations that they've tried to do in these sites, they've never turned up a single bone. And they've been refused excavations on the other sites, apparently, for many, many years, probably because they won't turn up a single bone. And I'm sitting here thinking, 6 million people is a lot.
It is.
So, you know.
To play devil's advocate on that one, though, it could be that they don't want people to disturb it because it's fucking grim already. You know what I mean? It's one of those ones. I'm not, I don't mean to refute the what you're describing. I've not done any research at all.
I like the idea of both sides being able to refute each other.
Oh, totally, yeah. But I'm just, I'm just kind of speculating wildly that it could just be that they're just like, leave it the fuck alone. Because all the all the anecdotal stuff I've heard from people who go to Germany, like Kevin Smith did a bit about it, where he said, he wanted to go and see the concentration camps, and all the German people are just trying to get on with their fucking lives. The modern day Germans are just trying to get on with it.
Yeah.
And they're constantly being asked to, to kind of relive those things and to, to bring them back into, to kind of go back through history and stuff. It's just like, yeah, I can see how that might grate.
I know that we need to be open-minded about these things, and, you know, you can't ignore any evidence or any theories. You know, you need to shine lights into these dark corners. That's where knowledge is. But I find it really in bad taste to question it. You know, I'm not suggesting that bad taste is you, Paul, or the piece that you've read. I just find that if I start to question it, I feel like it's in bad taste.
Ask why.
Just because it sounds disrespectful. It feels disrespectful of the lives that have been lost. You know, the lives that have been lost in the Holocaust, which is widely accepted to be a fact.
That's what needs to be questioned.
Yeah. And I just find those two things to
the
be at odds.
The other thing I look at is, you know, 4.5 million Germans were starved to death because of this situation. Maybe we owe them a bit of respect by finding the truth.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the British blockades, all the food that was, everything that was stopped, medicines, food, the lot, sort of thing. And I'm like, well, hang on a minute. Did this happen because they were sold a lie? So that's where I start to, it's not that I'm opening excusable doors to go through, but I just seek the truth in everything. It's as simple as that. It's fun. I genuinely find it fun. It's not great reading, but if I can expose a little bit of truth on something, I feel that I've got somewhere. Don't get me wrong. I'm not taking it all as fact, but it does skew your opinion enormously. I'm becoming.
It opens you to the possibility that the stuff you've been told and have never questioned is questionable.
But more than.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Which what I about more than? I enjoy doing that. I mean, yeah, it's. And I just sent you a link a minute ago. It's quite long, but casually read it.
I had a read through. I knew some of that stuff that was in the. In the truth bit, the bit that's under the truth section. I've heard some of that stuff, but I can't remember. I definitely haven't read a lot of it, but I don't know. Do you find it out of interest, Paul? So you're somebody who appreciates kind of the alternate tellings of history. Does it grate on you when people like names like Hitler are bandied about by somebody who's just trying to shut down a discussion? That makes sense?
I think I know where you're going.
In terms of, you know, if somebody's like, I'm of the opinion there's certain subjects you can't talk about with certain types of people. And it's just, it's you know, it may not be a fact in terms of I can't necessarily provide data on it, but I think everybody will have probably, you know, seen this somewhere before, that they've had a discussion with somebody, they disagreed, and somebody's gone to the extreme. And, you know, if it's especially on certain subjects, it will be, you know, well, you're just as bad as fucking Hitler or whatever. It's called Godwin's Law on the web.
Yeah, no, I find that kind of thing ridiculous.
Yeah,
to be honest, unless you've got any spine at all to your comment. I'm of opinion. Just keep. There's no. I don't want to hear the comment. Basically, yeah. I mean, I don't know if I upset people, but I have these conversations with a lot of people. What have you been reading? Blah blah blah. And I tell them because they've asked me what I've been reading.
Yeah.
And then I just look at people in the eye, and I have no problem saying, you know, what if I told you Hitler was the good guy? And I get looks of disgust. I'm like, no. I actually asked you a question.
Right.
I mean, I didn't. Well, it comes out like a statement. What if I told you? But it is a question mark at the end. And I'm not saying he is, but I said, what if I told you? What if I gave the evidence that he might be?
Right.
And most people do just wave their hands and go, "That'd be so stupid." And I'm like, that's the problem. That's the problem. It's like, do you pick up the Sun and just take the front page as fact? Because
I would imagine
that's where the problem is.
I don't know. I would imagine the kind of people who are unwilling to accept anything like that probably don't read the Sun.
Yeah,
but you know what I mean. Yeah,
yeah, I totally get what you mean. Yeah,
you don't just take the front page and stop ever.
No, oh my god, if I'd done that today, I would have driven myself up the fucking wall. I saw a headline on the Metro, on the front page of the Metro today. It wasn't a headline, but it was on the front page. But why birds are really right wing? I'm just like, what kind of fucking slow news day is this where you've got to run roll that one out? And what's worse is it came from their lab, which means they've tried to justify it using actual science.
What is this world we're doing?
Just, you know, what year is it? I mean, fuck.
One of my Facebook buddies today, she sent me a little thing. She just said, okay, just you got to choose. Do you want Clinton or Trump? And I just put dot, dot, dot.
There's a third party candidate.
Are they standing?
He's there. Yeah, he's there. Gary Johnson's there.
Just because you have to vote for him. Just because of...
If I had to choose, and I don't, he would probably be my pick. I don't like the other two. But there's that. I mean, he comes off as a bit gormless at times, but at the same time, he's, you know, like they asked him what he made of Aleppo. And he said, and what is Aleppo? And I said, are you serious? He said, yeah, what is it? I'm not familiar
That's
with
not funny.
It. I think, I see, I wonder if he misheard and thought it was a noun, like Aleppo.
Yeah, Hungarian llama.
Exactly. Yeah,
the Aleppo.
But so he's had bits like that, and I was listening. Funny enough, actually, we were talking last week about podcasts we listened to. I was listening to one of them, and they had an interview with the guy who he beat to become the Libertarian candidate. So he's this third party candidate. There's actually four, I think, but one of them doesn't really get a look in. But they were interviewing the guy, and he was like, yeah, you know, he's had his moments where he hasn't really helped himself. But like I say, of the two, I'd pick somebody else.
Of the two, I'd pick someone else. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I don't envy, you know, I don't envy any American listeners the choice they have to make.
To be honest, does it really matter?
Well, this is the other thing is...
Either one of them is going to be a marionette for the banks and Wall Street anyway, so...
Well...
That's who runs it.
Argument. Yeah. I mean,
on that hopeful note...
let's bring the tone up. Let me find something fun.
Yeah, let's wrap up on something
I know something we can wrap up. Yeah, that's good, actually.
It's so, uncharacteristically dark, this episode, for a podcast called After Dark Side.
They seem to have become like the... You know, the Tinfoil Hat podcast as well. You know, to the casual listener, it would be we delved much further into some of the themes we've already discussed. But you know, these things are fun.
Oh, I know what I was gonna. So I got to send you guys.
Oh, he's not
just
done.
Remembered. No.
I'm kidding.
Oh, I watched an interesting video this week by one of my favorite spooky YouTube. Channel people.
Oh yeah,
called Top Fives. I really like this guy. Okay. And
doesn't sound like a spooky channel from the name, does it?
No. He does a lot of different bits and pieces. There's some conspiracy stuff on there, but there's some interesting stuff. There's loads of weird stuff. But the things I get the most joy out of are the weird stuff. And this week's episode was about Ouija boards, and you had this YouTuber that likes to. He says his house is haunted or it's got a poltergeist. Right. And I've seen that, Paul. What you just put in?
Oh, sorry.
The alien interview. Mm. And he had footage of this guy who says his house has got a poltergeist in it.
Yeah.
And he's put loads of videos up on YouTube of all the cupboard doors and his kitchen opening and things like that and stuff flying out of the drawers. And he was doing this, sat down to do this Ouija board on camera.
Mm-hmm.
And the minute he put his finger on the glass, it exploded. And then the drawers behind him opened and all this stuff started flying out of his head.
Bloody hell.
It was amazing. I mean, if these are spoof videos, he's doing them really well.
Yeah, totally. That's the wonderful thing about YouTube, isn't it? And the modern video editing and stuff. Is that guy who does the magic vines?
Yes. You know, he's really clever,
He's incredibly clever. Like, it's just, he's doing these
little edits. You know,
little edits to make it look like he's jumping through car windows and stuff, and it just looks incredible.
Yeah,
and the really fact it's how they do it so that it all syncs up as well. It's always impresses me.
Well, that guy whose YouTube channel I've been watching, Casey Neistat, he did a bit of that the other day. I was watching. He went off to fly some drones with some people from in San Francisco. He was in San Francisco, and he said, "While I'm here, I'm going to go for a run. I've got my running shorts." And then he flipped them at the camera. and they were immediately on, and his jeans were off in his hand. It was just a really clever little edit. He's a good little filmmaker, that guy. I like him a lot.
Yeah.
Ow.
Have you heard of this is a light-hearted thing that's going to cost me £1,000 next year. Have you heard of the DJI Mavic drone?
I've heard of drone. I'm familiar with drones, so I can guess what it does.
It's a pocket-sized drone. It folds up into your pocket. There's a flying 4K camera.
Nice.
And it's absolutely gorgeous, this thing. But it's so intelligent, you put your phone in a dock under the controls, and then when the camera's looking at you, you can just draw a little marquee around yourself, and the camera will follow you. So if you go surfing, you can launch the drone, select yourself on the screen, put the control down, get your surfboard and go out there, and it'll just follow you around and take 4K video. We are living in a Jetsons-like future, aren't we?
It's amazing. It's getting there.
Absolutely very much so, amazing. Yeah. And more down the, what was it, the movie Idiocracy? Apparently that's, I haven't seen that movie, but apparently we're all kind of, the society's going that way increasingly often.
Yeah, that's being re-released.
I can't really, I can't really.
That sounds scatological.
Doesn't it, just? Right, on that note, let's wrap this up because I've got editing to do before I can do the other thing I need to do this evening, which is sleep. Yes.
There is that.
Right, I talk Star Wars on Twitter.
Example.
Twitter. Sorry. I'm Movie Score News. It's
I'm at Rob Wade Vision. So Mark, at the end of this one, there's going to be another app, right?
Oh, is there?
It's going to be, so we're going to do another round. So this week is, so what you'll hear is James's reply to my first one and then my reply to him. We decided the easiest way to do this so that everybody gets to hear it all is to kind of stagger it so that he's, so Tumbling Saber Monday just gone or Tuesday just gone, we'll have my first one and his reply, and then his reply and my reply will form our one, and then and so on until the end.
Sounds ideal.
So it starts on After Dark Side, ends on Tumbling Saber, because he gets the last word. Which I should have thought through, really. But you know, next time.
Well, there you go. He's had you twice over there. Then
that's it. He's definitely done me on this one.
Done you like a kip.
Done me like a kip of sunshine.
Right. No,
I'm looking at this Dream Vine guy. He's fantastic.
He's clever good, guy, right? Isn't he?
He's really good.
The Christmas tree was superb.
Some of the ones he does are just nothing short of incredible. It's Zach King, for those who are interested, the guy who does magic vines. And he's just great.
He just flew.
Yeah. He did. This is it. He does this incredible shit. Like, he's just, you know, he's picked up a taxi in the thumbnail.
That's the thumbnail I'm looking at. Yeah.
He's just picked up a taxi like it's no big deal. Like, wizard.
Wizard. Right. Okay. Here's Rob's rap, and we'll see you next week.
Just want to give props and mad respect to Rob for coming out of his comfort zone and killing it. Nothing but love for you, brother. All for fun, man. Lyrical jousting. Canada, the UK. The kind of game that only two play. It's verbal fencing, and I'll beat you with the touche. And I'll smile as I do it, cause my grin is the toothiest, my beats are the grooviest, my flow is the juiciest, my lyrics the truthiest. I'm ruthless like a Quentin Tarantino movie is. On the microphone, I blow up like Vesuvius. Rob Wade, you're about to get Pompeii'd. Flambéed like the creme caramels that Mom made. On stage, drop so many rhymes, the floor is concave. Your situation's dire, Rob, more grievous than a blockade. I'm hard and precise, like the stone that killed two birds. My name means king, man, your name is just two verbs. One means burgle, and the other means you first. Cause I'm afraid to dive in, sorry if the truth hurts. I'm two-thirds of your height, you're two-thirds of my skill. You know my flow is so sweet, my tooth hurts when I deal. Like two nerds in a fight, we use words to determine whose verse was worse versus whose was real. You get the notion that my wit's keen. So clear and deep, I'm like an ocean that is pristine.
I cause commotion when I spit mean. Not saying I'm better, but I'm emotionally 15. And like a split screen, I accomplish much more. On the mic, I excite like verbal parkour. Hardcore and explosive like a day in Darfur. If you see me in the street, better lock car doors. Now let's talk Star Wars and the CW crew. Just had a force vision and I see trouble for you. You've been kind and diplomatic, a real Henry Kissinger. You said you had 4 podcasts, I think you meant 4 listeners. Very cool to include them in your song, but I think you left one out. I'll do it for you. Hi, Rob's mom. I shoot first like Han Solo with a faster blaster. Make you cry like Hope Solo when they blast one pastor. Pick a fight with me leads to a fast disaster, 'cause foolish is the student who attacks the master. Peace.
There you go, Rob. Your turn.
In the saddle, though I'm nowhere near a horse. Can the crazy train lead man top that? But of course, if you're down to joust, I'll go medieval on it. I'd like a scotch bonnet. Right away, James, you claim to have the juices flows. Well, I asked the man from Del Monte, he said no. You need the vitamins, I'm coming for you like a virus. With lyrics so timeless, I should write them on papyrus. We just started off the battle, yes, you are the master. But I'm sweeping through your city like natural disaster. Though I'm the underdog, we'll see who does better. I'll make you itch like an Ewok sweater. Keep in mind, my skills are rich as most casinos. At any moment, I could break out a Al Pacino. And on the Tarantino movie front, few are greater. But I'm like Kurosawa, everyone's an imitator. James O'Flaherty, please provide some clarity. Did you really go for a high joke expecting max hilarity? From my point of view, that's a little mean though. You make it sound like I'd blend in on Camino. To be fair, from up here, I can't see all of you. Or maybe that's 'cause you're always down in Moria. But seriously, my giant stature gives a great view, and I can clearly see there are no eagles here to save you. I'm larger than life and happened since birth. Like a Balrog, sending you down below Middle Earth. Except this time, you won't come out stark white. Maybe next time you think twice before you start fights. You're quite the Joker, dude, but I'm your Dark Knight. Might be tall like a tree, but my bark bites. Bringing mothers in? For shame, O'Flaherty. But my mum loves your show, too. She loves charity. Name is Rob, thank you very much for noticing. I'm gonna steal this battle from you while you should be focusing.